Welcome back to Glow Girl. We're a weekly podcast where we talk about woo and wellness and making our way in this wild world. I'm Tracy White, as always, and I am here this week with Joe Figueres of The Woke Akashic, our favorite regular contributor here.
Hello.
How have you been, Joe?
I have been good. I have been busy and good and really enjoying the recent sunshine. So
yes, enjoying the energetic boost of Aries season.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm focused now. Remember last time I said I wasn't focused and now it all came together. So
yes. So this Aries season energy, because it is this kind of like initiator energy, and we'll talk more about this week's astrology and like get into depth with it in a minute. But I have been noticing this, and I think a lot of people probably are noticing it and maybe not, you know, putting them together because they're not complete nerds like I am about astrology, but there is this rebirth and initiation energy and this sort of focus on accomplishment and drive and getting things done, finishing things. Well, at least starting them. Starting things. Yeah.
Getting them started.
Yeah. But we're feeling this energy kind of everywhere. And so the reason for that is, so spring cleaning, let's take that for example. Spring cleaning, springtime is Aries season. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. Spring season begins when Aries season begins. It's the same day. The spring equinox is the beginning of the astrological new year, and Aries season is the first sign of the zodiac, and so that is where it starts, you know? This associated energy with rebirth and the blooming energy of springtime is very Aries related. So I don't know, you know, we start feeling motivated to deep clean our house. We start feeling motivated to start sometimes physical workouts or like new routines, things like that. These are Aries like starting initiating energies. Now, the other thing that I also noticed this time of year is here, I live in the Midwest, and I know Joe, you're originally from the Midwest and now live in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
The speed of the plants coming back up after winter always blows my mind. It's like one day it's nothing. It's dirt. And the next day there's green stuff everywhere.
Are you starting to get the green stuff?
Yes, we finally are. All of the bird seed that I fed my birds outside all winter long has now bloomed into plants that my husband swears about every single day. So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty little bird seed weeds out there, and he's mad about it, but I think it's cute. The squirrels enjoy it.
Yes.
Helping the nature out there.
It's good for the nature. Here in Oregon, spring comes early, like early March. Mm-hmm. And so it's lovely. We've already gone through sort of the cherry blossom phase. And they're beautiful. The trees here, the flowering trees here, they blow my mind. They're so beautiful.
Maybe next spring I'll get out there. I need to visit.
You do.
It needs to happen. It's like one of my bucket list locations to just kind of tromp around, especially Portland, Seattle. I just need to get there.
Yep.
Yes. I'm meant to be there for some reason, even if it's just a visit. So,
right.
Now this energy of these plants coming back after winter, they are just like, you know, they're dark. They're in the ground, under the ground. It's dark. They have no, if you think about life as a seed, they have no idea what's happening. It's just dark. And all of a sudden things are happening that they don't understand. And it's painful sometimes. And it's scary sometimes. And it's like this frenetic energy that we feel like we can't control. Like, I just think about what it must be like for a seed. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I do think sometimes about what it must be like to be a seed. And so then it's confusing, right? It's rapid. It's beautiful. It's scary. And then all of a sudden you're like bursting into the sunlight. And now you're a whole new thing. You're a brand new thing. And I think that our own spiritual awakenings can be like that. If we're tying things together here.
It can be, or it can be like an explosion. I have no idea how to make the correlation between something that just explodes versus busts through.
Yes. I mean, it's a thing we don't have any control over. It's energy that is causing us to move in a volatile way, and we don't really know how to deal with it. Sometimes we just have to kind of ride that wave.
Yeah.
And so Joe and I are going to talk after the break about what our spiritual awakenings look like.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us are going through that right now. A lot of us have been through it and maybe don't quite know that there are very easy ways to sort of correlate some of the things that have happened to us to a spiritual awakening. So we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail after our little ad break. But first, I want to talk to you about this week's astrology. So talking about Aries season, the sun is in Aries still until April 19th. So when we have the sun in Aries, we have this sort of enthusiastic, spontaneous, motivated energy. We desire to conquer. We want to accomplish. We want to push forward. It's that initiating energy. Sometimes it's impulsive, right? And sometimes we can't control it. Sometimes we get a little aggressive, and sometimes we get a little assertive.
Assertive.
And those are very Aries energies, you know? We can get a little direct sometimes during Aries season, and we might be seeing that a lot out there too. What can sometimes happen during Aries season is we get the bug to start projects, but then we lack the desire to plan ahead, and we sometimes lack the desire to finish those projects. So keep that in mind with all of this Aries energy. You know, if you have the ability, if you have a moment of focus to sit down and make a plan about how to finish a project, you're going to be way ahead when we get around to, to the next season here. So, we also have, in addition to just the sun in Aries, we also have Venus in Aries. We have Chiron, which is an asteroid. Chiron is involved with our healing, and Venus is involved with love and our values. And these energies, also in Aries, it's a lot of strong pushing us forward kind of energies. This can be us talking about our beliefs, and this can be us feeling like we're ready for a change, or we're ready to talk about what we believe. And, you know, for some of us, this is about feeling like we need to start something new with our health. And this might be our mental health, and this might be our physical health. But both Venus and Chiron are talking to us about starting something new to improve ourselves. Should we improve our body? Should we improve our community standing? Should we improve our mental health or our emotional outlook? These are all initiating energies that this Aries season is pushing us forward on. So if you're feeling that, if you're feeling like you're being energetically pushed forward, this Aries energy is very strong right now. We have a lot of it going on, and we're going to be in this for a little while longer. And so we also still have a lot of Pisces energy in the mix too. And Pisces and Aries couldn't be more different from each other.
I did not care for Pisces energy.
It's the last sign of the zodiac. It's Pisces energy is when Aries is when we're born and we're babies and we're full of energy, and we can't get our thoughts across without fighting and crying, and it's hard. Pisces energy is evolved, and it's transcendence, and it's a little hippy dippy. Pisces energy is like, I'm all feeling and slow, and we don't have to hurry because we'll get there eventually. That can be hard for some people, especially when you are a doer. Pisces season can be super hard for people with strong earth sign placements, like I know Joe has. And so
yes.
It can be tough, but we still have some of this Pisces energy. We have Mercury in Pisces until April 3rd. So we're coming up on the end of that. When Mercury's in Pisces, our thinking processes get a little bit more intuitive, a little bit more imaginative. Sometimes this makes it tough for us to get out our words And sometimes this makes it a little easier for us to say, oh, can I show you some memes? Can I send you a TikTok? Could you listen to this song? And this song embodies exactly how I feel about my entire life right now. And it's like teen angst. And can you just like, my soul is on fire. So like, I'm not being dramatic. I'm just saying Mercury in Pisces is a little emo. And so if you're feeling it, just know April 3rd is coming. We'll move out of this.
Is that one April 3rd?
April 3rd is when Mercury moves into Aries.
Oh,
when Mercury moves into Aries, we're going to be like fast, 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 rapid, rapid, rapid. And what comes out of our mouths, we probably won't really think too much about it before it comes out. So there's that. Good to look forward to that.
Yeah. I don't know that I need more of that energy. Mm-hmm.
We will be moving fast. Our mouths will be moving fast during Mercury and Aries season. So,
you know, one thing I want to point out is that the Aries energy sevens, if you have a life path seven or there's a seven in your chart numerologically, messed up that word, they're going to find it particularly difficult because of what you said about seven or Aries energy, where you want to start projects, but you don't necessarily have the desire to finish them. And that's a seven thing. So that might be amplified more.
It is. Yeah, it's and not only is that going to be amplified. So let me tell you about something that we're going to have, aside from it being Aries season, aside from this being big and bold and fast. Aries is fast. We're going to have, so Mercury will move into Aries. Mercury, and then Aries is ruled by Mars. Okay. And then we're also, that's going to happen on April 3rd until April 19th. We are still currently in Mars in Gemini season until April 23rd. Okay. Mars in Gemini is a similar energy to Mercury in Aries. They're the same planets involved here. Mars rules Aries, Mercury rules Gemini. This is very fast. This is communication without allowing our neurons to fire. This is everything must happen right now, and we can get a little scattered. We can get a little aggressive about things. So just keeping that in mind and understanding that we're feeling this push, to do and accomplish and more by these planetary energies, and just kind of knowing that, yes, we do have energy all around us all of the time. And yes, these planets do give us the opportunity to do things the way they want, but we also are humans and we have choice. Knowing about these energies can help us choose to slow down and choose to plan and choose to have a little bit of strategy. You know, so utilize the good things about these energies, use the energy to start something new. That's great. Get your body out and move it. This is, you know, all of this heavy Mars and Aries energy is very much about moving your body. The Gemini and Mercury energy might be about, moving your mouth, you know, might be about just talking and a lot of that. So as we see this kind of coming through, it's going to feel like a lot. It's going to be a lot, but this may also be a time with some of the other, outer planetary placements that are in more spiritual signs that we are starting to feel like some of these spiritual awakening things happening for us. Or maybe this might be a time where we've been ignoring it. And now we say, okay, I've got to do something with this. It's time to do something with this. I think you'll hear a lot of people saying, you know, especially the next few weeks, it's time. And then take action. So this is really, especially this entire month of April is going to be really about taking action for us. So make your plans now while you have a little bit of focus, and expect your April to be busy, you know, busy with putting some of those plans into motion. So lots of good stuff coming up, guys.
Sounds exciting.
It is going to be very exciting. I cannot wait to see how all of this energy pushes us forward and helps us in some of the new things that we are starting to tackle. So very cool stuff.
All right.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys about one of our episode sponsors real quick, and then we are going to get into the meat of this show. Hey guys, is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from manifesting the greatness you deserve? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with your very own professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. You don't have to leave the house. You don't have to put on real pants. It is that convenient. BetterHelp gets it. Life is busy. Now you can get help on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your own therapist. BetterHelp includes licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBTQ matters, grief, self-esteem, and more. Anything you share is confidential, and if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is available worldwide and at your fingertips. BetterHelp offers 4 communication options, text, chat, phone, and video, and you can start communicating in under 24 hours. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option with financial aid available. Glow Girl listeners get 10% off your first month, so why not get started today? Join over 1 million people and me taking charge of their mental health by going to betterhelp.com/glow. Fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/glow for 10% off your first month. Okay, guys, let's talk about spiritual awakenings. Let me just tell you, I don't know when this happened for me. You know, I feel like I know a lot of people who had something that they are saying, I'm pretty sure this was a spiritual awakening for me, but not really sure how to pinpoint it. And I feel like that too. I feel mm-hmm. like I just sort of slowly morphed into this super weirdo that I am now, but I was also raised in church. And did I connect with that then? Did it morph into this now? Is it somewhere in between? But I know that there are people who just woke up one day and things were different. And, you know, are there different types of people that experience this kind of thing, Joe?
Yes, absolutely. And spiritual awakenings are like fingerprints, right? Some people, they're very catalytic, divorce, death of a family member, just a huge, huge event, loss of a job, that sort of thing, marriage, and then others, it can be more gradual. Maybe people are sort of, they move into it, but typically, the majority of people anyway that I work with, there's been some sort of catalytic life event.
Okay. So you're saying that it's not necessarily just like something like energetically that sort of happens to us over time. It can be caused by a certain thing in our life, can be, right, like you said, the catalyst for this yep. change for us.
Yes. Yes. Because we start to question life. We start to question our existence. And that's kind of this first stage of awakening, is sort of feeling dissatisfied and unhappy with your life circumstances, and then questioning everything, and just knowing that this can't be all there is. There has to be something more.
Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And then also knowing about certain astrological transits that we all go through at certain ages of our lives, that ties in. Is there an age, I guess, an average age that it seems like this happens for people?
No, it's all indicated within their soul blueprint or their numerology chart. But I bet you money, if people knew the date-ish that they experienced their quote unquote awakening, I bet you you would be able to find that in their chart.
Okay. Yeah. I have a couple of time frames in mind, and just based on certain transits that we all go through. So I'm thinking for a lot of people, it's probably somewhere between 28 and 31. And then for a lot of people, it's probably between like 36 and 40. And then for more people, between like 42 and like 45. Those are the age groups that we go through certain very, very important astrological transits. The Saturn return is the first one. And then we get into what are called the midlife transits, which is rude, but people didn't live as long when they invented that term.
In astrology. That's right.
So fine. I'm going That's through right. one right now. It's super fun.
Yeah. And that sort of goes hand in hand with pinnacles and challenges within numerology. So yeah, those numbers all track.
Okay. Okay. Very cool. So what are some of the, I guess, what are some of the ways that we know if this is something we're going through?
Well, the first sign is dissatisfaction within your current circumstances. A lot of times people will feel depression. They'll feel dissatisfaction with their career, their relationships, their friendships, their social circle, just, you know, generally not happy with anything in their life. You know, they begin to really feel the emotions that come up as a result of that. And then they start to question, you know, how they've lived their lives, you know, what have I done with my life type of thing. A lot of these symptoms kind of sound like depression, which, you know, they can lead to depression, or it can maybe, you know, maybe the throes of depression are what, you know, sort of initiate a spiritual awakening. I don't know, but that's a good thing to look into.
I mean, I'm assuming that lots of people, if this is what's happening to them energetically, yeah. I mean, it can manifest physically and
yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know what to do with it, I can imagine that it's a huge struggle.
Yeah. 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 You know, and then there are stages of the awakening, right? Because you're not always in that miserable place. The next stage would be, you know, starting a journey, you know, into the unknown. And so that is where you start getting more interested in all of the things woo and astrological and, you know, tarot and all that stuff. But there is also a fear. What am I opening myself up to? And that's at the very beginning, because people are like, am I going to open myself up to the demons or the Satan? Right.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, it's like, no, but it's good to ask those questions.
Like, maybe just don't start with the Ouija board, you know?
Right? Like, or ever.
It's a concerning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why is this a children's game? Why did we have these as children? What is happening out there?
And why is Milton Bradley manufacturing hellish potential?
I need to know what happened with Milton Bradley. Is this a conspiracy? What were they into? How did this end up in? I mean, you have like Monopoly and Sorry, and then let's contact Satan.
Yep.
It seems a little suspicious.
Just blame the Freemasons. They're easy to blame. Just blame everything on them. Those damn Freemasons.
I like it. So what happens next?
Okay. So the next step would be, let's put this into stage four, right? So we've talked about dissatisfaction. We've talked about, you know, you look at your life, and then we talk about starting that journey into the unknown. So step four or stage four would be, people start to feel like friends and family don't understand them, right? They start to feel alone. They start to question who you are and how you got there. I know that for me specifically, that was my moment. It's not that I started out at stage four. I started at stage one, but mine was, I was sitting on the couch in my living room. I was 44 years old. And I remember sitting there thinking, this can't be what life is. This cannot be it. This is not what I had intended or envisioned. And I literally hate my life. And that for me was like that catalytic moment.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. And then stage five, you just know that you're meant to do something else. And that was me. I'm like, you know, I just know that this isn't all there has to be. So a lot of people also find, they begin to hear the small voice of their calling or their purpose, right? That they knew that they needed to do this thing. Like, you've always been into astrology, correct? Well, I remember you told us your story that you started out as a young adult or a teen, was it?
Yeah. I mean, I've been into astrology, but also other things like, personality typing. I mean, I worked in the corporate world for a long time. And so, you know, the Myers-Briggs is just astrology for, you know, people with a MBA. That's all. Right. I mean, that's all we're talking about here. It's the same.
It is the same. The
DISC and the Enneagram and, you know, human design, and you can trace those all back to Carl Jung, who was extremely into astrology, and all of these archetypes are very similar and based on a lot of similar things. And
yep.
I mean, it's, I've been fascinated with that for as long as I can remember. And
so when did you know that you were meant to share this information with others?
So it's interesting that you say that, because when I was 38, I had just turned 38. I suddenly was done with my corporate job, and I said, yeah, I cannot continue. I have to make a practical plan to exit this part of my life. I have to do something different. And I'll tell you, I'm the worst astrologer in the world, because I don't like to look at my own chart. I only like to look at other people's charts, because what's good for you is obviously not what's
no.
good for you. Why would I take my own advice about things? No, thank you. And so I was going through this so-called midlife transit called the Pluto square, and Pluto is our planet of change. It's deep foundational change. And when Pluto squares itself, that is a compulsive need to change, like crawling out of your skin need to change and shift in your life. And the majority of us, it's a long process here, but Pluto's orbit makes it so that we all kind of experience this around the same age, but it started out based on the year that you were born, it kind of shifts a little bit, because Pluto's got an elliptical orbit. And so it happened for me right at 38. It was 38 to just about 40. And I'll tell you, my astrology business was launched 2 weeks after my 40th birthday.
Oh, very cool.
It was a process too, because I couldn't nail anything down during that time frame. I couldn't get there. I couldn't get the business off the ground until I exited that transit, you know. But I sort of, at that point, I tried on several different other things over the course of that 2 year period, and nothing was working.
Exactly.
I was trying to ignore this.
Yes. Something yes.
that felt more professionally acceptable.
Right. But that's a part of the process too, right? We say, well, maybe I need a new job, and you go to a new job and you experience the same shit, different people, right? And you just continue to do that. And for me, that happened for years. I mean, I went through that for probably 10 years until finally I was like, I can't do this anymore. And how I knew that I was done with the corporate world was when it wasn't just that I couldn't do my job anymore, but I could not stomach the thought of one more job search, one more resume update, one more interview. I could not do it. And I'm like, I'm done. So that's sort of when you get to, you know, stage five, where you just know that you're meant to do something different, and you're guided to begin looking within and researching and maybe spirituality or things metaphysical, but you just can't continue on anymore the same way.
Yeah. That whole tracks. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you move on to stage six, where your empathic and intuitive abilities begin to sort of deliver guidance, and you begin to experience synchronicities. Now, how people I found experience this on the day-to-day is you start to see recurring numbers. Mm-hmm. You start to see, one 11 and 11-11, and then you see lots of feathers and coins, and, you know, that's what they call synchronicities.
Yeah.
And then it's really acknowledging those. And when you see those, you have to say, okay, spirit, I see them. Show me or guide me to what I need to know to continue on, right? You have to acknowledge those in your life. And you don't have to do it outwardly so people don't think you're nuts, but you can just do it inwardly if, you know. Yeah.
It's like, is it like, can that sometimes be like pulling the same card over and over again?
100%. It's all, it's consistency, synchronicity. You keep pulling that Wheel of Fortune card. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that one. And then I have an astrological oracle deck that I like to use just for myself. And I oftentimes will just kind of shuffle it and, you know, split it, and I'll pull one card, and it's always the same card. Mm-hmm. Like half of the time it's the same card. And it's these cards are a little different than tarot. It's a card based on your astrological wheel. And the card that I keep pulling is the card that represents the second house in your chart. Mm-hmm. The second house in your chart is your house of personal resources.
Uh-huh.
And I keep getting this house of personal resources.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of personal resources topics that are alive in my life right now. And I'm like, I understand. I get it. I know, but like,
but what does it mean? How do I interpret that? Right. That's the hard part. That's where people start searching. They start joining, you know, groups and reading books and going on, you know, the interwebs and, you know, all of those things to, you know, expand your knowledge. And what is this? Just real quick. Have you ever played with the Black Moon Astrology Tarot Oracle deck?
No, I don't think I'm familiar with that one. No.
Yeah. I have it and I'll show it to you. But that's really hard hitting. And when I need like a kick in the pants, that's the one that I use. So
I'm always looking to add to my personal woo resources.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. after taping, I'll show it to you.
Perfect.
All right. So what's the next step?
We're at like step seven, I think.
We're at step seven. You start at step seven. You start to understand that your purpose is to be your true and authentic self. And that is what you're meant to share with others. And so that's when people, a lot of times will find Reiki or, you know, they'll learn a modality or they'll really start to get into astrology or start a business in astrology, mm-hmm. or, you know, you really start to think, how can I make money at this? Right. And it's never about money. It's about being in service, but also you can't go to that desk job anymore. So what else are you going to do? Of course, you're going to have to find a way to earn a living doing the thing that you love. And so that's right. Typically stage seven.
I think that, and I know there's a lot of, we talk about this sometimes about how a lot of people, not a lot of people, but you hear about spiritual practitioners that have a problem with people charging for services, but when you don't charge for services, especially spiritual services, you're not doing them justice. And you're not, when you don't value your services, when you don't value yourself, when you don't value that energy enough to charge for a service, it's devaluing, but it's not even good for you karmically. I don't
know. This should have been one of our topics on New Age bullshit when people say that spiritual people do not accept money, right? And I'm like, spiritual people accept food in their refrigerator. So how are you going to fill, you know what I mean? And they spiritual people need electricity.
If you want to pay me for a chart reading in gift cards to the pizza place, I will work with you. I will. I love pizza, but I also need money. So right. I mean, karmically, I am open to trade, but also like we have to charge for services, you know, and it's nice if you don't have to, but like there aren't a lot of people in the world who have enough personal resources to not have to work and to not have to worry about that.
Well, that's the thing. I'm lucky enough to be able to trade. If anybody wants to trade, I'm in. I'm all over it. I don't even question it because I also am lucky enough to have a steady income from as a result of my intuitive abilities. So, right, but exactly. Not everybody's like that. So until you get to that point, you got to charge. All right. Let me see. Stage eight. That's when you really begin to align with your soul blueprint and things just start to flow. You know, by then you have a steady like meditation practice, or you connect to spirit, you know, consistently. You have sort of begun to use your intuitive abilities. Opportunities show up. You follow inspired ideas. You know, your path just becomes a little bit more clear. You're sure about what it is. A lot of people, I see them at this point when they've actually entered into school or they're going to school in search of, you know, certification in that thing, or even if it's going to school to be an accountant. Do you know what I mean? Like it, they're on their way. And so you just are really become emotionally and spiritually just better equipped to deal with all of the challenges that come your way because you're in alignment with your soul blueprint.
I love that. I feel like I might be between those.
Yeah. Areas. It's a good stage. It's a good stage to be in. I think you're in stage eight. I think actually you might be in stage nine. Ooh. Stage nine is when you begin to co-create with the universe and then life gets better. It begins to flow. Things fall into place. Now, you know, you might not see that right now, especially with kind of some of the challenges that you're going through right now with getting this house, but you'll look back and you'll see that those challenges actually will have taught you something or shown you that, you know, in order to eliminate the need for that challenge in your life, you had to go through that. I feel like, pardon my intuitive muscle being activated here, but I'm hearing kind of that it's more for your husband than it is you. Do you kind of get what I'm, it feels like it's really for him because it's teaching him something.
Oh, you mean like patience and the fact that things can't always just happen because you want them to?
Well, that's for you to say.
Yes, listen, my husband is a Leo and has a lot of earth energy in his chart. And so when it comes to a human being stubborn, I will tell you that he may not look it to behold, but it is a powerful force.
Well,
and so yes, this whole home buying process has been a lesson for both of us. And this is, you know, in astrology, this is Saturn transit. Saturn brings us challenge. Saturn teaches us discipline, and Saturn shows us the lessons that we need to learn so that we can move to the next step of our lives.
Yes.
And so we are going through that energetically. I haven't looked at our marriage chart, but I have a feeling it's probably prominent in there at the moment.
So. Yeah, definitely. But it does feel like there is a bigger lesson for him, and you're like sort of that rock. So yay you.
Yay me.
Yay you. And also in stage 9, so you've begun to co-create with the universe, things begin to flow, but you also begin to connect with your spirit guides a lot more, like multiple times a day. Your intuition and psychic gifts begin to develop. Connecting with your spirit guide just means that you acknowledge them. You acknowledge them several times a day, or you acknowledge their presence or their part in something. I mean, I talk to them all day long every day because I'm always saying thank you, or I'm saying what the actual F. So yeah, I try not to cuss at them, and I cuss like a trucker, but sometimes it can't be helped.
So practical question. Could my spirit guides potentially be forest creatures that come to my house?
Absolutely. The squirrels. I
swear.
Yeah.
And also absolutely. A cardinal that has shown up and that has been here for months, and he only ever sits in my tree right out in the front of my porch and stares into my window.
Cardinals are typically, I believe it's red, right? Red cardinal.
Yeah. Cardinals are they red? Are red.
A lot of times they're known to be a loved one that is visiting you. Like my uncle, after he passed, he came to me in the form of a cardinal. Mm-hmm. Go to either Wikipedia to look up the animal meaning, or an actual website for spirit animals. And those will, that they'll give you the coolest insight into these animals that keep showing up in your life. And they'll give you like the spiritual or metaphysical meanings of that animal showing up in your
very
life.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. I know that one of the meanings of squirrels is that they are frantically gathering up things, and then they plant them places, and then they can't find them.
You can relate.
Thought, oh God, it's me with information. I read and absorb all this information, and then I give it to people, and then I don't remember it anymore. It's just gone.
Probably their goddess. They feel you are their kindred. You're the human goddess of the squirrels.
I really do understand them. And I also really love snacks. So I get it. I think
that's probably the thing that really connects you guys. Isn't that always the thing that connects people? Snacks? I think so.
Right? It's the common denominator here. So what happens when we get to stage 10.
All right. So stage 10 is as you work in co-creation with the universe, you align your energy with your soul blueprint. Now, what that's called is actualization. And that's what I do. I help people align with their soul blueprint. But just because you're aligned with your soul blueprint does not mean that you're not going to experience challenges or growth, right? Because once you align with that, then your world opens up to a whole new journey. So stage 10 is a continuous until, you know, just for lack of a better term, or for all intents and purposes, we're just going to say stage 10 is sort of the closing credits, but there's a sequel in the works.
Yeah. You've graduated-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And then what lies ahead? Well, continuing to live in alignment, make choices in alignment, connect with spirit, ask for guidance, be inspired, take action, all of those things. Ooh. Yeah.
That sounds beautiful. And yeah, yes, I think aspiring to get there makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So what are, I know there are some physical symptoms of this that you had mentioned when we talked before, which I thought were really interesting. What are some of those, and kind of when can we be experiencing those?
So I experienced those right away. Like when I learned Reiki, as soon as I learned Reiki, and that was like my first dive into it, then all of a sudden I had all these ascension symptoms. Hot flashes are a big one. And I thought I was going through menopause. I'm like, it's too early, but hot flashes, and they're hot flashes are assholes too. I'm just letting you know. Yeah. High-pitched tones, right? A lot of people experience those as downloads, heightened empathic abilities, body aches, pains, fatigues, brain fog, and all those type of things you want to get checked out by a doctor just to make sure. But if the doctor's like, you know, hey, then that's just your, what that is that's your carbon-based sort of DNA ascending into more of a light body DNA. Very esoteric. Mm-hmm. And really, can I prove it? No, but all of the readings that I've done, it's that's when the esoteric stuff kicks in.
Yeah, I can see how that one might track.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's just, you know, you start to feel detached from others, maybe, or a need for more personal space. A lot of people, when they go through the ascension process or the awakening process, they lose friends. You know, you just start to feel like I don't really have anything in common with them anymore. I don't feel inspired or supported by them. That's called the culling. And a lot of times those friendships, even if they don't come back, they're not lost forever, but the people that are meant to come back into your life, they will come back, and you will have stronger relationships than you've ever had. So be patient. Yeah.
That one definitely tracks for me. Yeah. So, yeah.
So that's pretty much it. I mean, there are so many. Google ascension symptoms or spiritual awakening symptoms online. Literally, there's one website that had like 200, and I'm like, all right. So if you have an itch in your butt, it's an ascension symptom. Like, it's not, you know, so they were just making stuff up, I think.
That's funny. I mean, listen, no judgment, spirit. I don't know where you want to live, but I could choose better places than that.
Right.
Well, okay. That was fascinating. And that was a lot of good information for thought. I think this is going to resonate with a lot of people who may feel like they're going through some of these things too, and kind of seeing where they are. I think it also really helps to know like what's coming, you know, so that you can see I'm not alone in this, and there is a process here, and I'm just sort of in the middle of it. So
yeah.
I love that. Thank
That's
you.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So if you, if you're listening to this and you are you're interested in learning more about this process. So Joe, this is something that you do in your intuitive training courses, right?
Yeah. You can learn about all this stuff in the monthly intuitive development group, or, you know, classes, or just reach out, you know, join the group and just, or make a post and say, hey, you know, it's a very collaborative, informative group. So
yeah, perfect. Okay. Great. I'm going to plug all of that. Thank you guys all for joining us this week. Thank you, Joe, for being here as always.
Thank you.
Giving us this amazing information. Everybody be sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode of Glow Girl. You can check out all of Joe's spiritual offerings at thewokeakashic.com. And then don't also forget to join her amazing Facebook community she was talking about, called The Woke Akashic. That's right on Facebook. And thank you guys all for being here with me today. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Glow Girl Pod. Make sure you catch the rest of the Girls Media Multiverse of podcasts. On Mondays, we've got Issues Girl. On Tuesdays, we have Edible Encounters. Thursdays are our flagship Girls podcast show with Brittany and Meredith. And weekends are for the kid-friendly family road trip trivia pod. So there's something for everybody here. Also, membership is opened up for our Girls Community Facebook group. It is now free to join, the best little girl group on the whole internet. I am in there. Joe is there. All of our other podcast hosts are there. It is a real fun time. There is nothing off the table to talk about there. It is wild, but it is also an incredibly kind and supportive and informational community. So
yes, very much so.
So come join us. Get your spiritual guidance with Joe's Woke Akashic group. Get like everything else you might need in the Girls community. You're covered. Come join us. So yeah, just look for the Girls community on Facebook. And then also be sure to answer the questions when you request membership, so that we can make sure you're not a bot. Okay. Thanks, guys. Glow Girl is a production of Girls Media, and our music today is by the amazing Breakmaster Cylinder. Shine bright, Glow Girls.